Rambunctious.
Ready to pray? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we're so thankful. We're thankful for the Lord's Day, a time to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's time to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to be strengthened, God, in the inner person, where we need it the most. And we thank you for making this happen. Thank you for bringing us all together. It's amazing how you weave our lives together. And Father, we thank you for hearing us when we call to you. What an awesome privilege we have to cast our cares on the Almighty God who cares for us. And Father, we want to continue to pray for Dave. Father, we pray that this morning that you would protect him from any further seizures. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to provide for him and Mary. And our hope is, Lord, that you would deliver Dave from whatever is causing this issue. And we trust you, Father, we trust you. And we thank you for taking care of them. Thank you for providing for them. Thank you for keeping Dave safe through all of this. Father, we want to pray for Kryn's daughters, Kaya and Kenley. We pray, Lord, that you'll heal them, deliver them from these the colds, the flu that's attacking their body. Lord, we pray that you'll bless Phyllis this morning. We pray, Father, you would just that she would just feel your presence with her this morning, and we pray you'll give her comfort that she needs. And help her to know, God, that we love her. We're thinking about her. We're praying for her. And our prayer is, God, that she would be strengthened so she can come back to church. And we know that that's possible. And so we pray you'll open that door for her. Father, we thank you for the good news about Gary. Thank you, Father, for healing his body, removing the cancer. And we pray you will continue to bless his treatment. And we pray you'll protect him, Lord, from any infections. Lord, we pray that you'll bless Millie. We pray, Father, you'll bless her rehab. We pray you'll heal her leg. And, Father, we pray that you'll help her to do whatever the doctors ask her to do. And we pray that she'll be able to continue in the assisted living, Lord, and not have to go to a nursing home. That's our prayer. Father, we give it to you, trusting you. And most importantly, Lord, we pray you'll protect Millie from any more falls. Father, please be with Terry and Renee. They truly are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And we pray, Father, you'll be near them. And we pray that you'll comfort them. We know that we've come to understand, Father, that this is a process. And we just pray you'll walk them through it. We pray you will just be there to heal their hearts and minds and give them peace. And Lord, we pray you'll bless Teresa with her sciatica. We pray, Lord, that indeed she won't have to have surgery. We pray you'll bless the treatments that she's doing now and that she will be pain-free. And Lord, we want to pray for Carol's daughter, Jill. Father, we pray that you would intervene in our situation at work. We pray, Lord, that you'll turn things around for her there so that this stress will not destroy Jill's health. Somehow, Father, I pray you'll intervene, and I pray, Lord, you'll help Jill to lay all these things at the feet of Jesus and trust you with them. I pray, Lord, you'll help both those things to happen so that Jill will find peace. And we thank you that Carol's here today, Lord, and we pray you'll continue to heal her back. Father, thank you for giving us time to study the Word of God this morning. Please bless it. Please help us grow. Please encourage us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. Okay, please turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 through 8. Very good stuff. Very well-known scripture. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, and strength to your bones. Wow. That's a lot of good stuff there. Let's see what we can do about this. So we have had pretty good discussions, I think, about fearing God. Right? Fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. Realizing that He is God, and you are not. Realizing that God has the power and the right to destroy you by sending you to hell, but instead He's chosen to die on the cross in your place and to rise from the dead so that if you will believe, He'll save you. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's when you finally get your act together. That's where it all starts. When you realize that and you act on it in repentance and faith, the Bible says you will be saved. That's the foundation of our walk with God, right? And that doesn't go away, by the way. It's always the foundation of our walk with God. We continue to fear God. Yes. It doesn't go away. As I was writing that down, studying this, I came across a verse I wanted to share with you because it's a good reminder. Peter is talking about the fear of the Lord in 1 Peter 1:17. He says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Conduct yourselves in fear of the Lord. It never goes away. We always remain in the position of a servant to the King. Okay? You don't outgrow that. You don't outgrow that. You never get to the place where, now this may sound strange to some of you, but some people act like this. You never get to the place where God becomes your servant. We don't get to the place where we start to tell God what we want done, or how He should act, or how He should answer our prayers. We always walk in the fear of the Lord, trusting God. Jesus Christ He's our Savior. I'm so thankful for that. But He's our Lord. He's Lord. He's not our friend first. He's Lord first, right? He doesn't have to do what we say. He always deserves our reverence and our respect. And today we're going to talk about the fact that He always deserves our trust. Our trust. So if the fear of the Lord equals reverence, you can make a note that trust equals reliance. If fear equals reverence, we revere Him, we honor Him, we humble ourselves before Him. Trust equals reliance. We rely on His truth, not our opinion about things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. But I feel it should be this way. It doesn't matter. But I think it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What does God say about the situation? You're not to trust in your ability to understand. You can't understand the way God does, because God sees the whole picture, and He doesn't have to explain everything to you. Now, in this verse, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trusting and understanding go together. Okay? This is a mental exercise. Trusting in the Lord doesn't mean you just shut off your brain. Okay? You have to understand what God says about a situation, and that's what you trust. Trust in the Lord and not in your own understanding. Trust in God's understanding, not in your understanding. It's a mental exercise. The heart, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The heart, in certain circumstances, when that word is used, it can mean the mind. It can mean the mind. Pastor, this morning, reading in Genesis, let me show you. He read it this morning, a good example for us. Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, it says, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So even though it's saying heart, it doesn't just mean emotions, it means thinking. Does that make sense? So heart is not just emotions, but it's the intellect, your inner thoughts, your internal dialogue.
Our therapists call it self-talk.
Self-talk. Sure. Now, when you're doing your self-talk, you tell yourself to shut up.
Yes.
And you say, what does God say about this? Yeah. Because what God says is what matters. Now, that, can I say this? That doesn't mean that God is just going to give you a brand new revelation. God has already spoken, right? And here's the problem. You want to make a huge connection to this today? That we have a huge problem today, because today we're living in the time, the days of Noah, as Pastor said, we're living in the time now where people are turning away from sound doctrine, sound teaching. And they're creating fables. They're making stuff up to believe in. That's easier, Miss Kim. Come up with your own thing that makes you feel good instead of doing what God says. And that we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is not a surprise to God. We're already told that this would happen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When I start reading this, you guys will all be able to quote it with me probably. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince. Rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. It takes patience to teach people. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Whatever desire someone comes up with, they can find someone who calls themselves a preacher who will tell them it's okay. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You have to preach the word. We have to trust the word of the Lord above our own thoughts. Above our own desires. That's the advice we're given. I know not everybody agrees with everything that I believe, right? But here's the thing. I will never tell anybody something that I can't show them in the Bible. And I don't care what anybody says about me after I'm long gone, as long as they say this, that he believed in the Word of God. And he taught the Word of God. Let's take a look at Proverbs 16:20. This is a good connection for us to Proverbs 3:5. Okay, Proverbs 16:20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Or your version may say, he is blessed. Blessed. See the connection there to Proverbs 3:5. Trusting in the Lord in this verse is equal to heeding the word. Heeding the word wisely is equal to trusting the Lord. And the other part of that verse is being blessed or being happy is equal to finding good. God is good, and God will lead you to what is good if you'll listen to the word and obey it. People who are turning away from the word to their own desires, their life becomes a train wreck. They're not really finding happiness. You understand that, right? They may tell you they are, but I know better. In fact, back in Proverbs 3, you see it talked about health to your flesh, strength to your bones. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, taking a stand on God's word, that is not pride. That's not a prideful thing to do. The culture now, if you take a stand for anything, they like to call you a lot of names, right?
They got nothing else.
But that's, yeah, they don't have anything else to stand on. But standing on what God has said, that's faith. That's not pride. Standing on your own opinion, that's pride. Don't be ashamed of believing in something. Don't be ashamed to believe what God has said. That's not pride. That's faith. When a person is turns away from God's word, when they're trusting in themselves, that is pride. Let's see, I have another verse here. Psalm 119. See, I don't write them all out. I just make a note and then I read it right now and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I remember. I remember that was good. Remember, that was a good verse. Okay, let's read, let's start at 15. Psalm 119, verse 15. Now, Psalm 119 has 172 verses, and they're all about the Word of God and trusting in the Word of God, okay? And he uses several different words for the Word of God, and you're going to see that in this section, okay? Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. And then verse 21, you rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. The proud are those who stray from the word and trust in their own understanding. That's the point I was making. It's not pride to trust in God's word. That's obedience and faith. It's pride to trust in your own understanding. Remember this, the devil's MO from the beginning has been to attack the word of God. Always been his MO. Because he's a liar and the father of it. And God's word is truth. So he's always attacking truth. Always trying to cause doubt. Always trying to cause confusion. Always trying to muddy the waters. That's why it's so important that you spend time in the word yourself. Read it. Pray over it. Trust it. The very first thing that the devil said to Eve was what? Did God really say that? Some of my friends, they get frustrated with me because I won't believe stuff that they try to tell me because I can't find it in the Bible. And they think they have pretty good proof, or there's maybe shades of it somewhere in a scripture, kind of. I don't go for it. I'm not going for it. I'm going to trust the word because you know what? I know if I trust the word, I'm going to be safe.
Can you give an example of what they're trying to get you to believe?
UFOs.
Yep, there's no aliens. The Bible doesn't talk anything about aliens, unless you're talking about immigrants.
Right.
The Bible calls them aliens.
Right.
Illegal immigrants, aliens. There's no aliens. The Earth is not flat. What else? You can't create things with your words. That's a discussion I have sometimes with some people. You saying things doesn't make things happen. So just forget about that. You're not going to accidentally say something wrong and God says, oh no, they said it. Now it has to happen. Right? I make a caricature of it because that's what I hear when people say that. They think their words have that kind of power. And there are preachers who say that. Well, you were made in the image of God, and he spoke, and it was created. You have the power to speak. No. And there's no scripture to back that up.
Gap theory?
Gap theory came up. Some people believe, that people I study who believe that between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, you could fit billions of years in there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Go to verse 2. Now the earth was without form and void, and they just squeezed everything science ever said In, yep, in between verse 1 and 2. And you know why they do that? Because of pressure from the world to say science has proven things that it hasn't proven. And so they just squeeze it in there. And I have discussions with people, and some of them come to church, that believe there were millions of years before Adam was created. But the problem with that is, if there were millions of years before Adam was created, then you had death before sin. And the Bible says that sin and death came into the world through who?
One man.
One man, Adam. You throw everything upside down if you start doing that. Jesus believed in a six-day creation. Jesus says in Matthew 19 that in the beginning, God created the male and female. In the beginning. He also says the devil has been a sinner since the beginning. Well, when was the beginning? It was 6 days of creation. Day one, yes. So, yeah, I don't believe any of that stuff.
You know, we've visited a lot of the national parks, and I don't know if there's one national park around that there is that doesn't start out millions and
yep.
millions of years ago,
yep.
or billions and billions of years ago. And as soon as I read that, I just walk away.
Yep.
Because you can see God's creation.
It's the first lesson
but
kids
like,
learn in school, in science class. You get a book, if you get a little book about dinosaurs for a child,
yep.
the first line in the book
yep.
says
any,
millions of years ago.
In any movie, if they don't say it,
movies,
it's on the screen.
Yeah. But if you do that, you have... See, if you believe evolution, then you believe that death created man, right? Because things were dying until they became human. But the Bible says that God created man. So yeah, are those good examples, Barb?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Now go and start all kinds of fights with your friends. It's lots of fun.
Oh, that's all right.
There's no aliens. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation is groaning under sin. Well, where did sin come from? Right here on earth. So the aliens, they're suffering because of our sin? No. Everything, life is here on earth. Everything's centered here on earth. All of creation is following what happens here on earth. At the end of the Bible, it says there'll be new heavens and a new earth. All the rest of it will be destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Poor aliens.
No.
And where are they in the new heavens and the new earth? When God comes down to dwell with man on earth. Poor aliens. No, there's no aliens. It's all lies. You can trust the word of God. They're lying. If they're not lying, they just don't know better yet. And they'll figure it out. The Bible's undefeated. It's undefeated. Anything else? I'm on a roll. Anybody else want to talk about something? Phew. All right. Let's turn to Proverbs 29:25. See, this kind of stuff happens when you let men pressure you to change what you believe. But you can't please men and please God at the same time. But there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure. You know, sometimes someone will mention in class, we pray for the young people. There's so much pressure on them by the culture. It breaks them. There's so much pressure, it breaks them. It's unreal. It's unreal. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. I know they're putting all this pressure on you, but listen, if you take your stand on the word, you're going to be okay. What's the worst thing they can do to you anyway? Send you right to glory.
Lord Jesus.
That's why you're not supposed to be afraid of those who can only kill your body, and they can't do anything to your soul. You trust the one who can destroy your body and your soul. See, dying is not the worst thing that could happen. And not to mention, okay, if you go back, let's go back to Proverbs 3 again. We talked about this last week, that actually, if you will not forget God's law and let your heart keep his commands, you'll find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, that doesn't mean they won't want to kill you, but they'll respectfully kill you.
Oh, good.
Because they will know that you're no hypocrite.
That one scripture, Pastor, where it says, where even your enemies will be at peace with you.
Yeah, that David said that. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. That's in the Bible. Yeah.
I know, you taught us.
But a good example of that, we've talked about with the Apostle Paul, when they murdered Stephen. It changed the Apostle Paul's life. Okay? Even your death, taking a stand for truth, is a testimony to people. Yeah, I will stand on God's word. You'll be safe there. You'll be safe there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean on the Lord. Lean on what He has said. Don't trust your own heart. We're going to talk about being a fool for a minute. A fool is a person who trusts his own heart. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He's not speaking in code there. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Let's see. So I wrote down a lot of Proverbs for us today. You can't say it any better than these do. Proverbs 18:2. A fool has no delight in understanding. Have you ever had a discussion with a fool? You try to explain. You know, you read these scriptures, they're as clear as day. You try to explain it to somebody, and they just refuse to think for a second. Because they have no delight in understanding. They only want to express their own heart. Because they're leaning on their own heart. And again, I want to say, faith does not mean you turn off your brain. God is very logical. The word. In the beginning was the word. The Greek word for word is logos. Logos. It's thinking. It's intellect. It's logic. In the beginning was logic. God is logical, and He wants you to think about these things. Several verses came to mind when I'm thinking about it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, think on these things. Let's read it together. It's beautiful. I really was tired this week. You know what I did this week studying? I just read verses and wrote them down. Okay. Yeah, we're going to read all these in class this week. Philippians 4, 8. Check this out. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. You know, think about things you can talk about to other people. Don't think about things you can't say to people.
Or the negative stuff.
Yes. Whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And if you have the King James Version, it says, think on these things. Think about it. These are the things you should be thinking about. By the way, health to your bones and strength to your flesh. If you'll think on these things, you know what it'll do? Deliver you from anxiety.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Let's read the whole section together, can we?
Deliver us, Lord.
Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Let's read it all together, all right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Woo! That's good news.
So, instead of being anxious, we pray. Okay? Instead of thinking about the thing we're anxious about, we do verse 8. We think about things that are true. Lots of times the thing that you worry about is not true.
Right.
You're making it up. You're creating a situation that is not real in your mind.
Or making it worse.
Or making it worse. Well, it always goes worse. Once you start doing that, you always go worse. You go to the worst possible outcomes.
Yes.
And none of this stuff is even real. And now you've put yourself in this dark place, and you made it all. You made it all instead of thinking about what's true. And I should say this, you have the power to think about what you're thinking about and stop yourself.
Yes.
You are not just the victim of your mind. You have the ability in Jesus Christ, okay, to say, all right, enough. Let's think about the truth.
Amen, Brother Corey.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Absolutely.
That's application right there.
There it is. That's it.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Yes.
Someone told me recently they heard a preacher saying that the people were too focused on Christ. That's mind-blowing to me.
That is mind-blowing.
So here's my answer to that, okay? You cannot be too focused on Christ.
Amen.
That's where you're supposed to keep your mind. Keep your mind on those things. Colossians 3:1-2. If then you were raised with Christ, how many of you have been raised with Christ?
Amen.
Raised from the dead, given life. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are where?
Above.
Where Christ is.
Yes.
Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. See, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on Him. Set your mind on things above. That's where your life comes from. And find peace that passes understanding. It's okay. It's okay to be at peace. Listen, there's no virtue in being anxious and depressed. There's no virtue in that. Today, that's become a virtue to people. They like to be victims. Let's forget all that. Let's set our mind on Christ. Let's trust Him and let's stop leaning on our own understanding. Proverbs 15:14. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on foolishness." See, it's important that you're feeding your mind with the right things. Feed your mind the right things. Feed your mind with the Word of God. Believe that God is able to keep His Word, okay? And that believe that God will do what's best, and be at peace.
And then He can do it better than you can.
He can do it better than you can. That is a fact. I screwed up the first half of my life. I'm not trying that again. I'm not trying that again. And yes, I encounter things I don't understand, but it's not for me to understand. It's for me to trust that God understands. I can only do what I know God wants me to do. And you trust Him for the rest. Trust Him for the rest. You're not in control of running the earth. Stop it. You're not in control of running anyone else's life. Stop. Do what you have control of. And that you have control of setting your mind on things that are true. Do that. Seek knowledge. You should do that. A man of understanding seeks knowledge. But a wise man understands he's not going to know everything. You have to. There comes a point where your understanding will stop, and you have to trust God. A wise man understands how much he doesn't know, and it's okay. It's okay. See, the thing is, no matter how much wisdom we do acquire, you never get permission. There's always more, and you never get permission to start trusting yourself. Okay, I want to tell you two things. Verse 6, I'm trying to do this real fast. In verse 6, it says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Jesus is Lord of every area of life. So, every decision that you make, okay, you're to seek His wisdom. What does God say about this? What does God say about this? And you act accordingly. In all your ways, whatever way you take, acknowledge Him first and let Him direct your path. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Very simple. I was studying this week and someone said, everything is His business. There's no part of your life that's not His business. Everything is His business. Okay, so you let Him tell you what to do. Now, this doesn't mean that God will give you exact details of every decision you make, like which watermelon to buy, whatever, right? But He gives you enough information to make correct decisions. Like, okay, so God may not tell you the exact person you should marry, but there are principles given when it comes to choosing a spouse. Right? You understand? So you seek what God has to say about it, and you act accordingly. God may not tell you what kind of car to buy or what house to buy, but He'll tell you how to handle your money, right? Don't buy a car you can't afford. Don't help anybody else buy a car they can't afford. All that's in Proverbs. We'll get there. I want to say something about verse 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We already read the verses in Philippians about anxiety. I was actually surprised at how many verses there are when it comes to the psychological things that we deal with. Anxiety and depression. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And while the world is going insane right now, okay, one of my favorite things to say, a good friend of mine had to put on a t-shirt, Jesus is keeping me sane. In a world that's going insane, Jesus is keeping me sane because He gives me a sound mind. Jesus said in Matthew 6, why do you worry? Look at the birds, God feeds them. Look at the flowers in the field, God clothes them. Why do you worry? You're more important than the birds in the field. And most importantly, David said in Psalm 32, after his sin with Bathsheba, David was separated from God for a time. And he said, while I kept my mouth shut, while I didn't confess my sins to you, my bones were being crushed. My life was being sucked out. You read it, Psalm 32. He said, but then I confessed my sins, and you forgave me, and his life was restored. That stress from unconfessed sin, stress from things you're not praying about, that's all unneeded stress. So hopefully that's helpful to you today. You don't have to figure it all out. Your job is to trust the Lord with all your heart. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Oh, thank you for a sound mind. Thank you that we don't have to be tossed about by every wind of teaching that comes our way. You've given us your word, and we can stand on it, and there we know, because you promised, we read it this morning, we'll be safe there. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for the anchor that you've given us. And God, I pray you help us to stop relying on ourselves and rely on you, the God, the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who cares for us. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you. Please continue to bless this day. Please use the services to follow for your glory and to build up your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.